This is Brenda Brim Kruko for the Voice of One Witness, filling in for Billy Brim, and we have a special guest this week, Brother Gene Wiseman. And we have been talking, Brother Gene. It seems like the Holy Spirit is really going on a lot of the love and power. Mm-hmm. And other things, too, and lots of other things in there with that.
Yes.
And but I am... I kind of a connoisseur of the old and the new. I like old books. I like the old timers. Mm-hmm. I kind of taken that from my mother. I have learned that from my mother, mm-hmm. how she appreciates the revelation, the wisdom and that flowed out of these people's lives and some of the things they got of the Spirit. And so I have kind of carried that with me myself. And I got a hold of a book called We Could Be Giants by Charles H.E. Duncombe. And I don't think it's in print anymore, but he had he's from England, and he had a Bible school in Tulsa. And I was talking to Mother, because anytime I get ask Mother anything, I always ask her about people. I don't want to be reading after someone who, you know, no telling, you know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, she told me he was highly respected, and she told me a story of a certain evangelistic place, and their writers were all talking about, they were writing, you know, they would take someone's messages and write them out. It wasn't Brother Hagin, and the man who was leading it said, you need to write on an eighth grade level. And Mother told me, Mom's told me that before, but she never added this part. She said, Charles Duncombe says, that's what's wrong with the body of Christ. We're keeping them at an eighth grade level.
Mm. That's powerful.
Powerful, isn't it?
Yes.
And so he's writing about the gifts of the Spirit and some things about God. And as you read, as I read a little bit, you can see that he's not writing on an eighth grade level.
That's good.
Oh, I know this will bless you because how God uses you, Brother Wiseman. So I'm just going to read a little bit here.
Well, this is going to be interesting because if we keep everyone on eighth grade level, who's going to graduate?
You know, I've heard Sister Jean, in fact, Jean Wilkerson say that Jesus is not going to marry a child bride.
Well, that's for real.
So we've got to... And their things are simple, mm-hmm. but there's a depth in the Spirit of growing in the Spirit.
Yes.
And it's simple. That's it's not true. As hard as we make it, mm-hmm. but it's allowing Him to flow and to mature in those things, those gifts.
Oh, amen.
Amen.
And we've got to come to the fullness of the measure of the stature
yes,
of Christ.
Yes, yes.
I want to hear this.
Okay. Here he starts. And he's talking about... This is chapter 2, A Balanced Life Adjustment by the Spirit. I once bought a chiming clock with a pendulum and two brass weights. I fastened a strong hook to the wall, hung the clock on it, gave the pendulum a push, but after swinging a few times, it stopped. I adjusted the clock's position a little and tried again with the same result. Again and again I tried, moving the clock first to one side, then to the other. Finally, I decided that the mechanism was faulty and that the clock would have to be returned. At this time, my wife suggested that I did not have the clock level and that the pendulum was swinging too far one way and not far enough in the other. I took a spirit level and adjusted the level precisely and barely touched the pendulum. Immediately, it started to tick-tock with business-like and reassuring regularity. I almost felt that it looked at me reproachably as if to say, how can you imagine I was perfectly, mechanically imperfect? There was nothing wrong with me in the first place. I was only waiting for you to adjust me in the proper position. The natural world is precisely adjusted and balanced. It says in Isaiah 40, verse 12, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Marked off the heavens with the span, enclosed the dust of the earth with a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. There is nothing half-hazard there. Here, there is measuring, marking off, weighing, and balancing. The position of our planet relative to the moon and the sun is precise. If we were too near the moon, the earth would be devastated by great floods caused by abnormal tides. If we were too far away from the sun, we would become a world girdled, shackled, and frozen by solid ice. A Russian scientist was disturbed recently because he had detected, or thought he had, a variation of a millisecond in the speed of the Earth's rotation in a century. Concerning the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, there must be the same precise balance. Amen. There are nine gifts and there are nine fruits. This is equilibrium and balance based on equal adjustment. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance must walk hand in hand with wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, discerning of spirits, prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. We cannot major on one and minor on the other. We cannot ignore divine laws and expect a great outflow of spiritual power. Noah's ship would never have floated, let alone weathered the greatest storm in history, had he not meticulously carried out the construction of the ship according to the God's given specifications. Any modifications introduced into the building schedule by Noah would have jeopardized and possibly doomed the huge ship with its precious cargo. God's last words to Moses before the construction of the tabernacle was, "See thou do everything according to the pattern given thee in the mount." According to Exodus 36:1, they wrought according to all that the Lord commanded. God even gave details such as killing the burnt offering on the north side, Leviticus 1:11, and scattering the feathers of a fowl offering on the east side, Leviticus 11:16. If God required strict obedience in constructing the ark and tabernacle, how much more should we follow the pattern, the biblical pattern, in building the spiritual structure of the church? A condition of imbalance existed in the Corinth church. There was overemphasis on the gifts of the Spirit and underemphasis on the fruits. This was the theme of Corinthians' epistle. In 1 Corinthians 1:7, Paul said that they came behind in no gift. They were not lacking in any special spiritual endowment, but in chapter 3, verse 1, he said he could not speak to them as spiritual men, but as to men of the flesh in whom the carnal nature predominated. In verse 3, Paul deplores their envy, their wranging, and their carnality. He marks down their partiality for one another, one leader or one group, as a sign that they were ordinary, unchanged men. It was a tragic weakness. The apostle reprimand climaxed in the magnificent 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, manifestation of the gift, and have not love, a manifestation of fruit, I am only a noisy gong or a changing cymbal. You know, love, Brother Wiseman, I think it's so interesting, because if you walk in love, God's love, you're going to do long-suffering. You're going to do all those. But I think God, in his balance, he had to have nine and nine.
Yes. Amen.
It is hard to accept and almost impossible to explain how a spirit-filled child of God can be kind of a spiritual schizophrenic. But it's because we haven't had the fruit. But God, this is the time of the fruit, the nine fruits, the love, and the fruit. Mm-hmm. And brother, and so that fruit goes with Christ. And you know, Lucifer, he had a power fixation. He still does. Yes. Satan has a power fixation. Yes. And so it's not good that the church have a power fixation.
Not at all.
It says the power fixation is deeply, irrevocably anchored in the human heart. In pre-Adamic times, Lucifer fell, a victim to it. He said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will make myself like the Most High, Isaiah 14:13. Eve listened to the voice of the tempter, who applied the same temptation to her when she precipitated his own downfall. He promised her that if she would disobey God, she would be as God. We are soon excited by visions of power. Power is not only to do, but to be. And so he's talking about, and I'll go into this maybe, Brother Duncan is talking about how this power, see, these gifts of power, miracles, workings of healings,
yes,
faith, are all by the love and all glory to God, balanced,
yes,
on God's heavenly scale. Glory to God.
You know, Sister Brenda, that really speaks volumes to me, because even the word gifts.
Yes.
Gifts of the Spirit. And those last few words that you spoke there, these power gifts, not only to do, but to be.
Yeah.
It made me think, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become,
yes,
to become, or come to be,
yes,
the sons of God.
Yes.
And I've often heard it said, if we had to beg him for them or ask him for them, they wouldn't be gifts.
No.
He's placed those gifts in the church because he loved the church.
They're Jesus Christ's love gifts to his bride.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Glory to God. And that, you know, Mom had a vision, or a dream, and in the dream, it's in her Road to Prayer Mountain book, but she talks about how there have, we're in this last days, we're going to see them in the way they were supposed to be, in their glory, the gifts and operations.
Yes.
And I know it's because, and I was, Donald G. said the same thing. He said the last move of God, we're going to see the fullness of the gifts and the fullness of the power together. That's Jesus Christ.
Yes, it is.
That's the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
That's his bride and him together as one.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Glory, amen, to God. Praise God. I just want to praise him a little bit. I don't know how much longer we have here. But we just thank him for that. We thank you,
yes,
what you're doing, Father. We thank you for what you're doing in your church. We thank you for what you are doing in your called out ones, Father, in this time, this end time. We thank you for the fullness of the fruits. We thank you for the fullness of the gifts. We thank you, Father, that you are moving in congregations, Father, even now. Even you are speaking to pastors. You're speaking to youth pastors, Father, and you are quickening to what you have for them. God bless you. Shalom, shalom. Amen.